do this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In sharing with you, I'm going to talk about how God equips us to handle temptation and evil. The Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 116 states that we need to pray because it is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. The answer continues with the fact that God gives us his grace and Holy Spirit to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking for God's gifts and thanking him for them. The Bible study that I'm leading by John Ortberg says this about why we have the Lord's Prayer. It's a tool to help us get beyond mindlessness. Jesus wanted this prayer to be a springboard into the deep, refreshing waters of an intimate conversation with the God that we love. See, Jesus taught his disciples and us this prayer as an example, a prayer of worship and surrender. Let's pray to God now. Living God, help us to hear your holy word with open hearts so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your glory and honor in all that we do. Amen.
Two readings this morning. The first is from Matthew 6. You may follow along in your pew Bibles. That'll be on page 1380. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And the second reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, page 1670 in your pew Bibles. And it's entitled, The Armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. People of God, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rick. Even on his day off, he's got to fill in. Let's look at temptation from the evil one. Temptation comes to every one of us every day. It's part of being human. And it all started in the Garden of Eden. The devil took the form of a serpent, and he lured Adam and Eve to disobey God. Temptation means testing or tribulation. It's not just about doing something wrong. It's about doing something not right, which pulls us away from God. Even our Lord Jesus Christ went through testing and temptation at the beginning of his ministry. The difference is, Jesus did not give in to temptation. Jesus did not sin. Now, if the devil would go after Jesus, we can be assured he will be coming after each one of us as well. As Christians, we need to admit our frailty. It's impossible for us to live a life that follows Jesus perfectly. Only Jesus is perfect. We need to admit that we fail, which part of coming to that time of confession and praying is admitting our failure. We need to also admit that the devil is active in this world, prowling around, trying to entice us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Face it, in this war against the devil, it is unbeatable. Only Jesus Christ has the power to put the devil permanently in his place. Henry Nouwen writes in the name of Jesus, "The long, painful history of the church is the history of people ever and again tempted to choose power over love, control over the cross, being a leader over being led." People of God, we need to let go of these desires, of our own little kingdoms, to the will of the Father in heaven. The devil and his thugs know that Jesus has already won the war, but they are going to try to take in as many casualties as they can. And as believers, we need to stand our ground in this war. In the passage from Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul acknowledges that evil is real and active in the world. We are not in a battle against flesh and blood, as verse 12 states, but we are in a battle against dark spiritual forces. Paul shares that all of our lives, all of it, is one big spiritual warfare. There's a battle for our hearts. But people of God, we don't need to be discouraged, because the Lord is on our side fighting with us. God gives us his grace and his Holy Spirit for the battle. Grace allows us to love God's kingdom more than our own. Now, I want to be clear. When Jesus taught us to say, "Lead us not into temptation," he was not saying that God caused us to be tempted, as stated in James 1. Instead, it means we have this desire to escape the tribulations and not to be tempted more than we can bear. It also means that we are able, with God's help, to go through the testing before us, the testing of our faith, as Paul shares in 1 Corinthians 10. Let's look at how God delivers us. Ephesians 6 uses battle language to stir us to action. Much of the armor imagery comes from Isaiah and the other Old Testament verses. Paul does not mean that we take up physical violence, but only a stance of defense. It's not through us, but through the grace of God that we will be ready for the battle. Here, Paul summarizes everything that he has said earlier in the book of Ephesians. Paul begins in verse 10 with, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Remember this strength, be strong in the Lord? It comes from God, not by our own physical power or our actions. And then he tells us how to be strong by putting on this armor of God. Why? So we can stand against the devil's schemes, as stated in verse 11. Paul fleshes out what these struggles of evil look like in verse 12. These struggles are against rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world. We struggle with spiritual forces of evil. Commentators share that Paul wants us to open our eyes to the power of our spiritual opposition. People of God, we need to recognize the evil around us, or we'll go down in defeat. We know ultimately that Jesus has won this battle, but the devil has not yet been put in his place, and he continues to roam, looking for those he can devour. In verse 13, Paul repeats himself on how we reach this goal. Put on the armor of God. Paul then calls for a commitment from his believers to stand firm with this armor of God. This armor, it is our new creation in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at what God has given us to stand against the devil's schemes. Standing firm means being nurtured in a faithful community. This community, this is your Christian community. You need to be faithful and nurtured by it and rooted in the knowledge of the Word of God, which means not just on Sunday. We have to be reading it every day. We have to hear what God has to say for us. The idea of the belt of truth has been a struggle for many scholars in understanding. Clyde Snodgrass looks at the meaning of the word truth and how it's used throughout the Bible, and he comes to this conclusion. To belt on truth means to be strengthened by God's truth in the gospel and to resolve to go out and live that truth. The breastplate of righteousness means that believers are reflecting the character of God through their actions. The breastplate guards our hearts. But if we give in to unrighteousness, the devil may hurt our heart. Our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need to be ready to share the gospel, but in addition, we need to be ready to live wisely and be agents of peace and love in this world. The shield of faith is a solid relationship with God and his faithfulness to us. With this shield, we will be protected from the arrows and the lies of the evil one. The helmet of salvation is a believer's willingness to strive for righteousness and to receive God's salvation, because salvation is the ultimate assurance of protection. When Paul adds the sword of the Spirit, things change a bit. With the earlier pieces of armor, Snodgrass says that the second element identified the first, such as the belt of truth, the shield of faith. But with the sword of the Spirit, it is different, because the sword is already the Word of God. And the Spirit will give power to this Word. Now, some of you would say, well, we've listed all the armor of God that God gives us to stand against the devil. Technically, maybe, yes. But I believe the next few verses are an important tool which equips God's followers to be ready for the warfare. Some even say that these last few verses could be the height of the entire epistle. Paul says, pray on all occasions. People of God, praying is not an option. It's not an option. It's not when we feel like it. It's not just when we need something. Pray on all occasions. And I want to tell you, there is never, never an inappropriate time for you to pray. You can pray now, you can pray on the road, you can pray in the shower, you can pray going to sleep, you can pray wherever. Keep your eyes open if you need to be driving or something, okay? Wherever you may be, it is not an inappropriate time to pray. And if you feel like it's not an appropriate time to pray, I'm suggesting that maybe what you're doing is not appropriate to God. Praying is woven into the very fabric of the one who surrenders his life over to God. In fact, prayer is so important that Paul uses the word pray four times in verses 18 and 19. In two verses, he uses the word pray. A believer's life should be engulfed in prayer. Even 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, pray continually. Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. On all occasions with all kinds of prayer. We don't just pray when we need healing. We don't just pray when we need comfort. On all occasions. I had a friend a long time ago, and it always struck me as kind of odd, but now it just makes sense to me. I babysat her little girl when my son was little. And she told me that she sat down and prayed before she went to the grocery store every time, so that God would only allow her to buy what she needed, what he wanted her to get. I thought, wow, really? It's kind of a frivolous thing. But when you hear these words, to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer, we can ask God for his help in anything that we're going through. Our conversations in the day. Our relationship with people. Our relationship with God. Ask him. You don't like your relationship with God? Ask him. Ask him to help you have a better relationship with him. People of God, none of the armor that we talked about, it's going to be of any real assistance unless we pray in the Holy Spirit. Remember, God wants us to have a relationship with him, his children. And that means that we need to be communicating with him. And I'd like you to think of this point. If we're in conversation with God, it's going to be very hard for the devil to convince us to follow his scheme. People of God, temptation will come, but God will deliver us. He will help us stand firm with his powerful presence. John 4, verse 4 says, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." We live in a fallen and broken world that scrambles around trying to find hope and peace. But we don't need to look anymore, because God's grace has connected us to hope. And this hope comes from the person of Jesus Christ. We may be tempted to think that we can contribute to our redemption and this fight against evil through our obedience and our good deeds. Romans 3:10 says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." Jesus, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, defeated the devil when he died and rose again. And only he can save us. I want you to hear these words from Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 127 again. What does the sixth petition mean? "By ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in the spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen."